Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28 is our text. And the message is entitled, Great is Thy Faith. The Sunday School Times reported this story that is told by the captain of a ship on which George Muller of Bristol was traveling. During his life, he has received more than £1 million from the Lord without advertising. Every penny came as an answer to prayer. And this captain gave this account for our learning. We had George Muller, he said, of Bristol on board. I had been on the bridge for 24 hours and never left it. And George Muller came to me and he said to me, Captain, I have come to tell you that I must be at Quebec on Saturday afternoon. And the reply of the captain was, it is impossible. Then George Muller said to him, very well, if your ship cannot take me, God will find some other way. I have never broken an engagement in 57 years of my life. Let us go down together into the chart room and let us pray. And so they went down to the chart room and the captain said, I look at that man of God and thought to myself, what lunatic asylum could this man have come from? For I've never heard such a thing before, because the situation on the ship is such that any rational mind would know it is an impossible thing. And so he said to Mr. Muller, do you know how dense this fog is? Muller replied, no, my eyes is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstances in my life. And he knelt down and he prayed one of the most simple prayer. And when he had finished, the captain said, I was going to pray also. And he put his hand on my shoulder and told me not to pray. So he was a bit puzzled. And George Muller said to him, as you do not believe, he will answer. And as I believe he has, there is no need for you to pray about it. And the captain wrote, he says, I looked at George Muller and said, and he said to me, Captain, I have known my Lord for 57 years, 57 long years, and there has never been a single day when I have failed to get an audience with the king. And so he said to him, get up. Let us go out, open the door, and you will find the fog has gone. And so the captain wrote, or he testified, he says, I got up, and the fog indeed was gone. And on that Saturday afternoon, George Muller kept his promised engagement. George Muller had great faith in the ability of the living and true God to accomplish God's will in his life. This testimony attested to that faith. In Matthew's gospel, there are two persons which we have studied so far that Jesus said had great faith. The first person, if you recall, was found in Matthew chapter 8. We were studying the centurion, right, the Roman soldier who had many soldiers under him, who had his servant sick, and how Jesus healed that servant when he came and sought the Lord. He said to the Lord, "You do not have to go to my house. I'm an unworthy person. You just have to say a word, and my servant will be healed." And our text tells us in Matthew chapter 8, verse 13, "Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee." And the servant was healed in the self same hour. Here in chapter 15, Jesus would commend the faith of another person to have great faith. And she was just like the centurion, not an Israelite, not a Jew. She was a Greek. As our alternative text in Mark chapter 7 tells us, she was a Sino-Phoenician woman. Two thoughts for our consideration. The contrast examined, verses 21 to 22. The greatness explained, verses 23 to 28. The contrast examined, the greatness explained. Right, the first thought, the contrast examined. Then Jesus, verse 21 says, "went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon." Where is Tyre and Sidon? Well, in Mark chapter 7, it tells us that it was Syro-Phoenicia. Syro refers to Syria, and Phoenicia is modern-day Lebanon. And so Jesus had been traveling from Galilee all the way westward and northward to the coastal area. You remember that he had been ministering in Galilee for a long time. For many chapters, we have seen how he wrought many miracles, how he taught in Galilee, and he did many things. But the people were steeped in unbelief. You recall in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus gave this, pronounced this judgment upon the people of Galilee. He says in verse 21, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have long repented in sackcloth and ashes." Israel was given the most of God's promises, all the things that pertaining to the treasury of God came to Israel first, and how as privileged people they spurn this great privilege that God has given to them. You remember our last sermon in the beginning of chapter 15, we discussed about the religion of the Jews, how they were so far away from God. There was a form of religion, but there was no power in it. And we discussed how their life was a distant life from God. And what was the reason? Well, their sins were not cleansed. The depravity of their heart were not purged. And so they continued to live in their sin with a cloak of religiosity that they put upon themselves, a self-concocted righteousness. Indeed, worship in Israel was empty. And you see a contrast here. You see our Lord moving from Galilee, where he was rejected. And if you were to look carefully, verse 22 of Matthew 11 says, "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you." Then he spoke about Capernaum. Capernaum was the last place that he was in before he went northwest to Tyre and Sidon. "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. So Jesus was trying to explain that even the debauchery of a nation like, or of a city like Sodom would have repented if they had seen all these miracles that I have wrought in your midst. And so you see here that indeed Jesus in this encounter with the women wanted to give to us a contrast. Right? A contrast between what is happening in Israel and what true faith really is all about. And so you see here Jesus going to this place of Sidon and meeting this woman. Verse 22, if you look there. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. The Canaanites. We are now at chapter 15. We are back in our text, verse 22. The Canaanites were occupying the promised land before God brought Israel to occupy the land through Joshua many hundreds or thousand years ago. They were an idolatrous people. They were immoral. They were a people whom God instructed Joshua to destroy because their idolatry would pollute Israel. They would pollute the purity of Israel's faith. And so, what a contrast we are observing here. Our Lord Himself going to this Gentile area, right, and reaching out to this woman in Tyre and Sidon. And here, our Lord, our story continues. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Here we see the contrast to help us to understand why this woman was described to have great faith. This is in contrast to the many in Israel, especially in the Galilean region, which we have been reading for the past few chapters, where Jesus did all these things. And Jesus taught them how to find true blessing, and yet they would not receive. They did not demonstrate faith. But they were in a state of great unbelief in rejecting Jesus, their prophesied Messiah. And look at this woman of the outer region, having least opportunity to know the living God. And yet, you see how she acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ and how she came with the kind of contrition of heart. She says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." You recall in the Old Testament, there was another Canaanite woman whom the Lord saved. She was Rahab. Rahab, if we recall, was a harlot. But Rahab, if you read in the book of Joshua, possessed true faith. She took God at His word. When she heard, she did not see, but she heard that the living and true God was the God of the Israelite, the God who brought them across the Red Sea, and how God fed them with manna and with quail, by cloud and by fire through the wilderness. She heard and she believed, and it was counted to her for righteousness, and how she acted on that faith, and she risked all to save the Israelite spies. She was a harlot, a Canaanite, a race that God marked for destruction. And yet, God's mercy came upon her. How is it that God's mercy would come upon us? You look at the heart of this lady. Look at the words. Look at her posture through this text of scripture. She said, Lord, have mercy on me. Just as God's mercy came upon Rahab, it was God's great mercy. You recall that Rahab received mercy from God, and she became the mother of Boaz, who married Ruth, you recall, the great-grandmother of David, and she was therefore an ancestor of Jesus. And so, as you think about the link, you would see that indeed, when Jesus came upon this woman, well, she indeed was someone who sought God, and God prepared her heart. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. She acknowledged Jesus Christ by his messianic title. Well, this is the prophesied Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is from the royal line. That's what Matthew wrote, isn't it? Right at the beginning of this gospel. He is the son of Abraham and the son of David, from the royal line of the king. This is the Messiah. He is the true king of Israel. And this is in direct contrast with the unbelief of the scribes and the Pharisees. There was a general climate of unbelief in the hearts of the people, and it grieved our Lord. And so as you read this account, you see how this woman gave great honor, gave great respect to God. And that's how God should be approached. She may be a nobody. She may be somebody, right, who is despised. But she knew how to approach God. Well, this is how God wants us to approach Him too. With a poverty of spirit. Did not Jesus teach the people in Galilee at the Mount of Beatitude? He said to them, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who mourn for their sins. This is the kind of heart that the Lord is looking for. This is the kind of heart that warms, brings a person to receive the mercy of God. She came without any merits. You can see that she came with utter unworthiness. And this is how we approach a holy God. We realize our own sinfulness. We realize that we deserve judgment in hell, in the lake of fire. And she came, you see, to Jesus with contrition of heart. She came with penitence of heart. She pleaded for her daughter. She said to the Lord, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She had a grave need. Her daughter was plagued by a demon. And she knew that the gods that she worshipped has no power over the demon. And she knew that this Jesus had the supernatural power to heal her. Because this Jesus is the Messiah. He is the living God. What great faith she had. And we contrast this with what Jesus said concerning the people in Tyre and Sidon. The contrast God wants us to see, examine. And brings us to our second thought from verses 23 to 28. The greatness explained. How is it that she had great faith? Verse 23. But he, that's Jesus, answered her not a word. We see here the Lord kept silent to her prayer. She had a grave need. And she came with the right attitude of heart. And what did the Lord say to him? The Lord did not say anything. The Lord kept silent. Jesus answered her not a word. But did she give up the Lord? Well, she knew in her heart that this is the living God. Just as Peter did when he said to Jesus, "Where will I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." The disciples did a most ungracious act to suggest that she be sent away. And yet, she would not give up on the Lord. Our text tells us, as the disciples say, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." The word there literally means she's screaming, crying in agony. She really needs help. It's sad, isn't it? As you look at the response of the disciples toward the grave need of this Gentile woman. And then look at the response of our Lord to her. Verse 24. "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Wow, that's another bad news for the woman. Jesus said to her, "I came to save Israel, not the Gentiles." Right, you are a Gentile. Salvation, well, priority is to the Jews. So another, as it were, disappointment to her. Then look at her response in verse 25. "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." She would not go anywhere else to any other person. She knew that this is the Creator of heaven and earth. This is the God, the living God, who has manifested himself in human flesh. And there's no other, not her gods, not those idols that she has been worshipping all her life, useless, dumb idols. She had come to that conclusion. And if the Lord will not save her, then there is no more hope. And so our Lord said to her, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I believe when the Lord said these words, it was amidst much grief because the people had rejected him, beginning with the leaders. Sad thing. And yet, there were those who were saved. Matthew, the tax collector, the writer of this gospel, he was saved. Indeed, there were lost sheep in Israel whom God will save. And Jesus knew his mission was first to the Jews. This is the plan of God. First to the Jews. And Jesus said it rightly. And so, she, as you see, was not perturbed. Not that she's, you know, if you think carefully, you said she's really very thick-skinned. Right? Really, Jesus said no to him, to her, and yet she persisted to come to Jesus. She knew that there is no other hope or help outside the Lord Jesus Christ. As Acts 4:12 tells us, there is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Only Jesus saves. And that is a truth that this Canaanite woman, this Syrophoenician Gentile, understood in her very heart. She came and she worshipped Jesus. She knew who Jesus was. And it was clear in her heart that if there is any hope for her and her daughter, Jesus must help. Just like George Mueller, he trusted in his God to provide. And you know the number of orphanages that sprung up all over Britain and in other places to receive in orphans, lost children. And 26 is the crunch verse. You see here, Jesus answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." So the Lord gave her another piece of his mind, as if to say, "No, you're not worthy." And the word there literally means dog. A very derogatory term to describe the Gentile. But here, there's another word that describes a little dog, the house dog or the pet dog. You know, the dog that you have in your home, the dog that comes into the kitchen with you. And here Jesus says that whatever that is on the kitchen table, on the dining table, is for the children of the house. And so the pet dog has no right to take that. And so Jesus explained and said to her, well, Jesus was testing her faith. She said, "This is reserved for the children of the house." But look at her response. Still, she was not disturbed. Or she was very clear. Who is the living God? Who is able to help her? And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She realized that indeed, she is nothing in the sight of the living God. We are nothing in the sight of the living God. Jonathan Edwards, we have said before, wrote, "Sinners in the hands of an angry God." He says how the sinner is hanging on a thread. You know, if God would let go below its hell fire, do you know how precarious your situation is? If God will not save, God will not have mercy, that's it. And this Canaanite woman understood. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And so she sought the Lord. She prayed to God. And yet, it seemed her prayer was unnoticed. Her prayer was unanswered. Yet, she continued to plead. She continued to sought the Lord. It did not deter her She prayed on. She said, Lord, help me. And she was even referred to as a most unworthy Gentile, a dog. And yet, her hope would not be silenced. Her importunity, her persistence obtained for her God's reward, a gracious reward. Verse 28, Jesus said to her, Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. This was the great faith that this woman showed forth, which our Lord commended. The contrast examined, the greatness explained. May God give to us such faith to trust in the living God. Whatever your circumstances may be, we were having our cottage meeting yesterday and we were studying from the book of James, how we are to go through the trials in life. And James gives us three things. He tells us with pleasure, with joy, and with patience, and with prayer. James chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. Well, you look at the life of this woman. She indeed showed forth that kind of a faith Jesus called great faith. She knew she was unworthy, and yet she would not buckle. She continued to knock. She continued to ask. She continued to seek. And God gave to her the desire of her heart. God's name was greatly exalted here when we see the faith of this Canaanite woman. As we close this year, as we begin the new year of 2015, may such faith abound in the hearts of God's people. And you know our memory verse from the book of Thessalonians. The Thessalonian Christians were saved from idols to worship the living God. And when God saved them, they put away all those idols. And they begin to serve the living God. God wants our faith to grow. And our memory verse tells us how the charity of every one of you all abound toward each other, that our faith may grow exceedingly. This is our desire for our people, that indeed our faith would grow, that our love one for another would grow, and that God would bring others that ought to be added into His kingdom, into our midst. And may we receive them, not like the disciples did, shoo her away, but we are to receive her as our Lord did. Of course, she had to prove her faith, and she did. It was true faith, and the Lord approved of it. May God give to us such faith, and may God help us to be such an ambassador for Him in the year of grace 2015. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for giving to us Thy Word. We want to thank Thee for the great care that Thou hast given to us as our Almighty God. Indeed, under Thy care, we have no lack. Under Thy care, all our needs, all our wants are met according to the greatness of Thy grace and mercy toward us. O Lord, we are thankful to Thee for who Thou art, for what Thou hast given to us as Thy blood-bought children. Undeserving as we are, O God, may Thou receive our worship of Thee. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.